Black Sky Radio.
My next guest is award-winning writer, actor and director Alec Norton. In Gregory's Girl, he played school teacher Alec. Alec, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Very welcome, Ross.
Now, why do you think Gregory's Girl was so popular at the time, Alex?
I think it was so successful because it was so bloody good. It was such a great film. It had heart, real heart in it, and just great story, great characters. I'd never seen anything else like it before, and I think, you know, most of the viewing public hadn't either. You know, we'd become so used to watching kind of Hollywood blockbusters and things like that. And there was this small-scale, low-budget film straight from the heart. And I think that's what won people over.
How and when did you first hear about Gregory's Girl? And what prompted you to take on the part? Because it was a low-budget film and there probably wasn't a lot of money in it for an actor.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a lot of money around at that time anyway for most Scottish actors. You know what I mean? I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know who Bill Forsyth was. But Bill, as it turned out, kind of knew me from, and Johnny Bett from our 784 days. He was a 784 fan, used to come and see the shows. And was very keen to get us involved with it. And Bill Patterson, I have to say, who originally had been asked to do the gym teacher, the part that Jake Darcy played. But Billy wasn't free. I think he was at the National Theatre or something. He wasn't free to do it, so Jake got the part and did it fantastically well. But I think Bill originally wanted the three of us from the Chevy, you know, to be part of it. And the thing that made me want to do it really was, as soon as I read the script, I thought, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely extraordinary. You know, and it was the kind of thing that lands in your lap if you're lucky as an actor. You know, once every, six, 7 years, if you're very fortunate. So when I got that one, I just thought, oh, God, it's one of those jobs that you think, I would pay to be in this. You know, and when I spoke to Bill Forsyth, he said, and Chick Murray's playing the headmaster. That was it. That was it. Of course, I wasn't going to say no to that.
What memories do you have of working with Chick? Did you film any scenes with him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, sadly, the one scene that we really had together didn't make the final cut. I was really sorry to know that. I can kind of understand why it didn't, though. It was a wee scene of Chick and I walking down a corridor. I can remember it like it was yesterday. We're both walking along a corridor together, and he's saying to me something about, you know, like, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, you know, Miss So-and-so is off, with the cold, so I don't know what I'm going to do with 2A and 2B, class 2A and class 2B. And I kind of offer this advice, you know, in a very kind of, as if I really care about these things. Say, well, headmaster, you know, maybe you could, if you put 2A in with 2B, we can do this, And the next thing, and then I'll be fine. He says, oh, yes, very good. Yes, excellent. Thank you for that. And that was more like, except at the end of it, as he walks away, I go into a classroom and look out to make sure he's gone, and then make faces behind his back like a wee boy. It was so funny.
Now, I heard about a scene with you and Chick where Chick decided to improvise.
That was the same scene. That's probably one of the reasons I never made the cut. He said to me, just before we went for the take, he said, let's do a wee bit of improvisation. My heart sort of sagged. Oh, no, I don't think this is the kind of script you improvise, Chick. He said, no, let's, you know, it's a very American thing to do. I remember him saying that. It's a very American thing to do. He said, we'll just sort of improvise the end. I said, oh, okay, Chick. He said, you say to me, Miss McIver's not been very well recently. I said, what was that again, Chick? He said, just say, Miss McIver's not been very well recently. I said, yeah, all right then. So we went through the scene, you know, and he said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with 2A and 2B. And I said, oh, well, you know, headmaster, you could put 2A in with 2B, and then I can look after 3C for that session, and 2A and 2B will be looked after. You know, he said, oh, very good, very good, very good. And then I went, you know, Miss McIver's not been feeling very well recently. He pulled out an apple, and he threw it to me. He said, give her that, she'll feel much better if she eats that. I didn't know what was coming.
Oh,
but I don't think Bill Forsyth was all that taken with the improvisation. When I go into the classroom and look out through the sort of glass panel in the door and then make all these funny faces and things behind chicks' back, I did this kind of wee improvisation myself, and I went, and I said, you know, Keith Bum Tully Fart, like a wee boy. And I think Bill liked it, but it was the producers who, when they were watching it, saying, well, you know, we don't know what this means, Keith Bum Tully Fart. So,
How did they translate that for the American audience?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, your character was a sort of a cheeky chappy, wasn't he? For a teacher, he was kind of cheeky.
That's right. Well, it was a whole sort of running gag thing where he sort of, you find him sleeping. It didn't really quite do that. I think there was only one bit maybe you caught him. But, I mean, in that scene again after Chick, when he goes into the classroom, it's an empty classroom, mm-hmm. and he goes up the back and sort of lies down on the floor under the desks to have a fly sleep. So there was that kind of thing going on there.
Yeah.
And what I loved about the script was the thing that, you know, the adults were acting like children, and it was the children were acting like adults in it. You know, that was what I think the thing that took the trick.
You're known to have quite a sense of humour on set. I mean, I heard of it one time you turned up on the set of Taggart wearing stockings and suspenders. Did you pull any pranks on the set of Gregory's Girl?
No, I didn't. There wasn't much time for that because, you know, we've been a low budget, you know, things were under pressure to get, to get a lot of work done in the day. There wasn't a lot of time for larking around, really. No, the only sort of larking around was that time with Chick and the Apple. We just got on with the job and so I'm very happy memories of it, but no memories of really sort of, you know, playing tricks and stuff and that sort of thing. No, not really.
Most of the major films coming out of Scotland these days seem to focus more on violence and drugs. And why do you think that is? Do you think that the Scottish film industry needs more feel-good films like Gregory's Girl?
Yes. I mean, they need all sorts of films. But, you know, the question is, who's going to write them? You know, things like Gregory's Girl only come along once in a blue moon, with that quality of light comedic touch, you know. I think nothing is easy, and it's certainly writing isn't easy, but I think it's kind of, in a way, easier to write a film about Glasgow hard men and all that, you know, because these, you know, gangster films sell well.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a fairly sort of, you know, well-known market there. And I think, you know, if you've actually got the, you know, the gumption to get off your hunkers and write a film and hope to get it made, it might be easier to raise money on those kind of films. You know, they do the same in London, I guess. There's a lot of those sort of East End gangstery films being made. It's not a genre I particularly enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't... It's difficult enough getting a film made. And I think, you know, getting a film like Gregory's Girl made is a miracle. You know, it's so rare to get films of that sort of quality that isn't about, you know, the unpleasant side of life.
The impact the film had in Cumbernauld, which was a new town at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, stemming back to when the film first came out, I mean, what are your memories of those days?
Well, I didn't really spend much time there. You know, I was only out for a sort of a day, and then I was off for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
back for another day, then off for 3 days sort of thing. So I've got better memories of Cumbernauld from having played the theatre there.
Mm.
When I was touring with 784, you know, we played Cumbernauld, the Cottage Theatre. And it was lovely. It was just delightful. I thought it was one of the most lovely places I'd been. You know, that wee cottage theatre and all that. But, and it was, you know, Cumbernauld was extraordinary. I remember going to see it when it first sort of, the new town when it first opened, with that incredible sort of shopping centre and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like something out of a Gerry Anderson film, you know. It looked like the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought Bill Forsyth had captured the spirit of that wonderfully well, of this, these kids being brought up in this brand new environment,
mm-hmm.
of ring roads and roundabouts and motorways and, you know, I thought he did that so well, because I think so many filmmakers would have probably passed by Cumbernauld, but somehow or other, the fact that Cumbernauld was this new entity, I think it was one of the things that maybe contributed to the success of Gregory's Girl, because it was like nowhere you'd ever seen. You know, I suppose you got Milton Keynes down near London, that is a new town, you know, a place like that. But, you know, he captured that kind of extraordinary quality of the new and the old and incumbent old coexisting. My first agent, when I was like, you know, 15 or something, a guy called Campbell Godley, and I wrote about quite a lot about him in my autobiography when that came out. He lived in Cumbernauld, and he lived in a council house in Cumbernauld with his mother, and no telephone. People don't believe me, you know, when I say that my first agent didn't have a telephone, but it's true. It was the woman next door had a telephone, and she used to answer the phone. He was extraordinary. He was known in the business as the Count of Cumbernauld. You know, these wonderful sort of airs and graces, like an old actor laddie. Yeah. But he actually lived in a council house in Cumbernauld with his mammy.
That's brilliant. Well, listen, you've been in every film I think I've ever seen that's got Scotland in it. It's not a true Scottish film unless Alex Norton's in it, and I'm sure you'll continue to do so.
I do hope so.
Thank you for joining us, and thanks for giving us your time today.
Pleasure, Ross. Bye-bye.
Bye now.